Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin T, Theology, with our guest, Dr. Anthony Lillis, from the Archdiocese of Denver, episode 109.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
Once again, hello, Dolores, and you know how I normally say you're looking lovely today? You're looking lovely today, but you're also looking a little older.
Well, that's not very nice.
Well, it's true, though, isn't it? By 2 days.
Just because my birthday was yesterday?
Was it yesterday or the day before?
Yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. How quickly we forget. We had a lovely day yesterday. It was so nice. Usually Fridays, which was the day of your birthday.
It's a fasting day.
But we decided to take off because of celebrating your birthday. And you came.
And so I put on about 10 pounds because I was cashing in on all my freebie coupons I had.
One of the benefits of being an OF, what does that stand for, D?
Old folks.
Old folks, yeah.
I'm going to be nice.
Is that when you join things like, Denny's or...
Yeah, sign up for all these different places.
When it comes to be your birthday, they'll offer you free things. And you were offered...
I had a Grand Slam breakfast for free at Denny's.
And then you had a thing for a free shake.
From Arby's.
Yeah.
I had a free pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks.
Where is the fasting and the sacrifice anymore in the world?
You just said it was a special day.
It was.
And I still have a couple more coupons that I haven't cashed in yet because they didn't expire on my birthday, so I could still use them for a few more days.
Well, I'll tell you what. I said this probably 6 or 8 times yesterday. I wish you a happy birthday, and you sure don't look anything like your 39 years. That I told people
39 for the third time or whatever.
I told people when I did the homily at the Friday Mass that it was your birthday, and I said some nice things about you, and you got a lot of reaction, didn't you?
I did. I had a lot of people come up to me after Mass and say, that was so nice of him to acknowledge your birthday.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, it just worked out time-wise very good, the fact that he had to preach that day.
Right.
He had the microphone at his disposal.
And just by way of vitamin P, prattle, I'll just say that there are a few other things to share. One is that I went down to the valley and joined Karen Williams, who was a previous guest on Catholic Vitamins, and she's the co-editor of CatholicEdition.com, your portal for all news Catholic and then some.
Yeah, those who listen regularly would have heard her doing a promo at the beginning of our show a couple times.
Right. Well, I joined Karen and her husband, Ron, who was my first time meeting him, and we had lunch together. And then we went to a Planned Parenthood where we joined with Sean Carney and a number of other pro-life people. And we prayed the rosary and heard a pep talk from Sean Carney from 40 Days for Life. And it was a great afternoon. I really enjoyed it. So that's a little bit. Did you say I had something else to mention or talk about?
Your sleep study?
Talk about
being... Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. Talk about being short on news. I happened to mention a month or so ago or more to a doctor that I often woke up during the night, and she asked a few questions and I answered those, and she ordered an oximeter test. I think that's what it is when they put a thing on your finger to measure the oxygen level, and I had to wear that at night, and the results came back and indicated that I should have some further study. And so I went to a place where they do nighttime sleep study. I had 30 wires connected to me, and
probably looked like something out of a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, I could have done the Halloween thing. And when I woke up, or I was awakened the next morning, the man that was
in charge,
he came in and took all the measuring devices off and said, looks like you have some obstruction when you're in REM sleep, rapid eye movement phase, which is the deepest phase of sleep. And he said, they're probably going to have you do something about it. So that's what I know right now. And I haven't heard back from the doctor's office. But
and I must have had a really good night's sleep that night you were gone, because I never even heard you come back in the morning. I was sleeping so soundly.
What does that say about our relationship, that when I'm gone, you sleep better? Happy, happy life. Happy life.
Hey, speaking of happy.
Yes.
Since you already mentioned my birthday, I thought we'd just let everybody know that this podcast is being sandwiched in between my birthday and our 47th anniversary.
Now, did we really want people to know how many years we've been married?
I wanted them to have pity on me.
Great. Well, you've done the right thing there. Yes, dear, I would do it all again, although we probably wouldn't want to relive all of the years and all of the experiences that we've had. But overall, it has been a beautiful and long-term relationship. And I'm glad that God pointed me to you. And the reason that I first noticed you was you laughed at my jokes. You remember?
What is that? Oh, yes, I do.
We met in a bowling alley, folks. Mm-hmm. We did.
And there was a group of people that always went out after bowling, and you just happened to be part of that group one time.
So we met, and then I was a substitute bowler, and then about a week or two or three, whatever it was, later, I was invited to be a substitute bowler again, and you were there, and I wound up giving you a ride home. And I had
Should I tell everybody that you were a substitute bowler for your girlfriend's bowling team?
Yes, yes.
Folks, after he met me, he dumped her.
Gosh. I hope she doesn't listen to Catholic Vitamins. But the way that this relationship started, other than the bowling aspect, was I had to give you a ride home that night. There was a reason that you were without a ride.
Yeah, I didn't have a car that night. I forget why.
And I, what did I do? I dropped my girlfriend and her roommate off first.
Because as the sequence went, their apartment came first.
Right.
And then mine, and then wherever you lived.
And my girlfriend at that time said, oh, no, you don't have to do that. And I said, well, yes, I do. Yes, I. And I wound up, I think we sat out front of your place talking for a while, and I got your phone number. And,
yes. Oh, and the rest is history, as they say.
Well, that's enough for vitamin H, history, and vitamin P,
prattle.
Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Vitamins. We have someone who has touched my heart and my faith journey, and someone whom I admire a great deal, Dr. Anthony Lillis, one of our professors.
Anthony was actually our guest for our second podcast.
Right, right. And he's with us today to talk about theology, something that many Catholics know as a word but have no idea how to approach it or what to think about the word theology. And Anthony Lillis is with us to talk about that. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Vitamins.
It is I who need you, and yet you come to me. I must grow smaller, so you will increase. God said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So this joy of mine has been made complete.
6 years ago, I was asked to teach a class on social, personal and health education, which on the whole is a good program, but contains some dubious elements that aim at introducing a somewhat liberal agenda on important topics like relationships and gender. Now, I was troubled at the concept of having to deal with the falsehoods and dangers that were being peddled through very well-decorated and attractive textbooks. Troubled in spirit, I turned in prayer to the Lord, seeking counsel for what I should do. Suddenly, I was reminded of a promise that I had made some time back as I was standing in line in the crowded streets of Rome, waiting patiently to pay my respects to the late and great John Paul II. I can remember promising him that as long as I lived, his words and his revolutionary teachings would not be forgotten. In that instant, I had my answer. I would teach it, and I would tackle the social, personal, and health topics I was being asked to deliver. But as for the book I would use, one came to mind straight away, Theology of the Body for Beginners. Now, I must admit that I kept this plan very much to myself and set about designing lesson plans and activities that would help the children to enter into a spirit of John Paul's great revolutionary vision of the human person in relation to self, sexuality, marriage, and family. During my first lesson, as I asked what I thought were easy yet fundamental questions, one child said to me, "Sir, we don't know how to answer you. We have never heard this stuff before." That, I have to say, stopped me in my tracks, saddened me somewhat, but increased my resolve to ensure that they would hear it all, whether it was in season with them or out of season. You see, I deeply believe that all Christians should be consumed with theology, the intense personal study of God, in order to know, love, and obey the One with whom we will joyfully spend eternity. There is an absence of authentic reflection on our faith experiences, and consequently the relevance of our life is being questioned. Do we not see God and reflect in our own way on the life-related implications of our God encounters? And what does theology mean if it is not a reflection on our God encounters? God encounters are available to every human being, and reflection on these encounters is possible for all. So theology is a must for all to live and reflect on our God experiences in human experience. Teaching and learning theology are not the prized privilege of a few. It is open to all humanity that it may be related to real life contexts. This is especially true in theology, for I know of a chaplain who was ministering at the bed of an old dying man who had lost his faith and had left the church many decades ago. The chaplain asked him what he believed about life after death, and the man replied that he had no idea where he was going, and he didn't think anybody else did either, because no one had any idea where they came from in the first place or why they were here. The chaplain disagreed. He said, "You know the answers to those questions because you learned them as a young boy in your catechism. Do you remember how it begins?" The man wrinkled his brow, retrieving an old memory. "Yes," he said, "it went like this. Who made you?" "God made me." "Why did God make you?" "God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in the next." At that, the man paused, lifted his eyes and said, "You're right. That's true." And a smile appeared on his face. And then he died. You see, we need philosophy and theology now, because we will need it later on, when those moments come before we meet our Creator.
Well, you just heard from Fergal O'Neill, all the way from County Kerry in Ireland, with some thoughts on theology. Fergal, always a blessing to have your participation on Catholic Vitamins. Thanks to you so very much. Thanks to Mary, your dear wife, for sharing you with the Catholic Vitamins, and blessings upon you and your family. We'll have to refresh ourselves about your website so we can have people check you out if they want to get in touch with you. Fergal is a third-year deacon candidate in the formation program in the diocese that he's in Ireland. God be with you in your journey towards becoming a deacon, we hope. We preceded Fergal with some beautiful words and theology on baptism from Danielle Rose from her album Mysteries, and that was about John the Baptist and Jesus Christ at the baptism of Jesus. We had a friend take a picture, and we're going to put that on our Catholic Vitamins page and probably put it on Facebook as well. I'll just refer you to look for it, because it's a picture of Danielle Rose holding a picture of Tom and Dee. Kristen Detloff did that, and it just made us smile in our hearts and on our faces. Thank you, Kristen. All right, we continue with more Catholic Vitamins.
Hail, most merciful heart of Jesus. Hail, living fountain of all grace. Our sole shelter, our only refuge. The light of hope issued for our race. Hail, open wound of your sacred heart, from which the rays of mercy come, from which was given us to draw life, with the vessel of trust alone. Hail, throne of mercy, Lamb of God, who gave your life sacrificed for me, before whom my soul is humble daily. Living in faith profound with thee.
Well, wasn't that beautiful? That singing was by Donna Corey Gibson. Those are Divine Mercy Prayers. That's the name of the album. And you just heard Hail, Most Merciful Heart of Jesus, from Donna Corey Gibson, also someone who was a guest on Catholic Vitamins. Next up, Anthony Lillis, Dr. Lillis from the Archdiocese of Denver. Next up on Catholic Vitamins is a dear friend, a professor, a spiritual formator, Dr. Anthony Lillis, whom I've known since I was a deacon candidate. Dee and I came to know Dr. Lillis as a professor at the seminary in Denver. And after ordination, we continued knowing each other and seeing each other, and they were a guest. They've been a guest at our house a couple times, so we've become friends as well. Dr. Anthony Lillis, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Well, thank you very much. Good to be with you, Deacon Tom.
We have had you as a guest on the show before. The first time was very early in our Catholic Vitamins series. You helped us look at beauty in the church, and that was Catholic Vitamin B, our first go-round of the alphabet. We're now approaching the end of our fourth round of the alphabet. We've hardly used any repetitive vitamins or words, and today we're going to talk to you about theology, but we're so grateful to be able to do that. But before we get into that, let's back up and let people know who Anthony Lillis is. Tell us some about your youth and then your education.
Sure. Well, I'm a layman. I teach theology at St. John Vianney Theological Seminary in Denver, Colorado. And I'm married, and I have three children. My oldest is in college, and I have two teenage girls at home. One's in high school and the other junior high. So life is pretty full right now. And we've lived in Denver for about 20 years, And that's right. When we first met, when I first met you, Deacon Tom, it was through the Diaconal Formation Program. And then we used to visit you up in Estes Park when you lived up in beautiful Estes Park, which is on the edge of the wilderness of Colorado. It's beautiful. Anyway, we came to Colorado after I finished my own education. I went to school at the Angelicum in Rome, where I did my doctoral work and my graduate level work. And then before that, I went to Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. That's where I did my undergraduate work. And my whole academic career really has been theology. I studied a little bit of philosophy and a couple other disciplines, but most of my work has been in theology. And in specifically, my field is called spiritual theology. It's kind of, I'm trying to think of how you might define it. It's theology applied to the spiritual life, or the intersection between prayer and study. And in priestly formation and diaconal formation, it's a very important discipline, because it's not for people to know theology intellectually, but they need to be able to pray it with their hearts. And in spiritual theology in particular, tries to reach into that mystery and help people develop kind of a contemplative intellectuality, I guess you might say an intelligence of heart in approaching the things of God. And so that's pretty much what I've devoted my life to. My area of expertise in spiritual theology is Carmelite spirituality. And my doctoral dissertation was on Elizabeth of the Trinity, a mystic who died in 1906 at the age of 26 and was a contemporary of Saint Therese of Lisieux. So I get to, because of that, I get to work with other great saints and doctors. John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Therese of Lisieux, and Elizabeth of the Trinity are kind of the four that I mainly work with.
Yes, we were blessed to hear you come to our parish in Estes Park, and you talked about Elizabeth of the Trinity, and that was beautiful. I also remember that during our spiritual formation weekends, when you were helping to form us as deacon candidates, we also learned some more and studied more about Saint Therese, whom I dearly love and have had devotion to. So you've been a blessing in our lives. You've already sort of pulled us into a sort of an area that many people who sit in the pews of church have heard of the word theology, and they've heard of theologians, and sometimes they've heard of the clash of theologians as they explore different areas. Can you give us a start on what theology means for the everyday person?
Well, theology, the best definition is from St. Thomas, and he says that theology is the study of God and all things in relation to God. There's a way in which the first theology, the first knowledge of God, is in God himself, and all the rest of theology is a participation through the work of our reason and through our faith in the knowledge that God has of himself that he's revealed to us in Christ Jesus. And after that, all the different divisions and everything kind of come from that. But if you wanted to know what's the basis of theology, what makes theology theology, and the basis of it is that God knows himself and loves himself in a holy trinity. And in this self-knowledge and in this love that's from all eternity, all other things flow, including human intelligence. and the human heart. And he's created man in his image and likeness to know him and to love him. And that's what makes theology possible, is that somehow we come out of the knowledge and love that God has in himself, and so we're ordered to find it. In fact, I would even say that there's a certain sense in which theology is important to have to engage in order to have a happy life. Somebody who never asks theological questions, who never tries to know God, has deprived himself of something very, very important for our humanity. We're meant to know God. And so that's the very basis, the essence of all theology. Any theology that leads you into a deeper knowledge of God and a deeper love of God, any theology like that's a waste of time. It's deviated from its true purpose. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I remember from our deacon formation studies back in Denver, the 4 years that we were learning back there, was that there are different branches of theology. I remember the theology of Christ, the theology of the church. I'm sort of jumping around hierarchically. Could you help us, just for example, have an understanding of the theology of the church? What would that be a study of?
Sure. Theology of the church, it's also called ecclesiology, and that's a branch. There's two main branches of theology. Really, theology is one. It's rooted in God's knowledge of himself, which we participate in through faith-filled and love-imbued intelligence, and which contemplates the mystery of God. But as we look at this mystery, the way our minds work, we need to break things down into different components. And so the two main branches or of theology, let's put it like that, is there's practical theology and speculative theology. And practical theology is theology that looks into the question, how are we to live in the face of God's presence? With our faith in Christ Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross, how then are we to live? And so that whole practical or pragmatic branch, that's generally consumed with questions surrounding what we call moral theology, which goes into specialized questions like sexual ethics and bioethics and all those things. But it's not just ethics. It's because ethics is a question of, you know, what is the right way to live? What is the ethical thing to do? In theology, you'd be asking, what is the right way to live, the true way to act in the face of the mystery of God? And so that now we'll come back to ecclesiology. Ecclesiology is in a branch of theology called speculative theology. And speculative theology includes such fields as ecclesiology, like study of the church, and Christology, study the mystery of Christ. It includes soteriology, the study of the mystery of how we are saved. It studies the Trinity. One of the things all these speculative sciences and theology have in common is they're consumed really with gazing at the mystery of God, not so that we can figure out how to live, but simply because it's beautiful to gaze on this mystery. And what can we say about this mystery as we behold the beauty that's before us in it? And so ecclesiology is looking at the mystery of God and considers how Jesus established the church and its governance through the apostles and through his disciples, through his death on the cross and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It considers all this theological data, the revealed truth, and it asks, well, then what is the church? And this was the great question, incidentally, of Vatican II. One of the reasons we had the Second Vatican Council was to answer the question, or to begin to explore more deeply the question, is what is the church in relation to the world and in relation to itself? And the theological contemplation of the fathers of the Second Vatican Council gave us the great teachings of Vatican II. So,
this is so fascinating, and there are so many areas to get into, but let me take us back to the person who wants to know more, but, you know, is not involved in continuing studies. Are there some ways to begin to try to learn a little bit from an overview or an introductory point of view about theology?
Yeah, I think the first thing that somebody who wants to get into back into studying theology or to begin to study theology for the first time, I think there are two texts that I would say are essential for beginning that. And the first would be to prayerfully study the Holy Scriptures. Right now, there are a lot of really good teachers out there who have all kinds of different Bible studies that may be in a parish or in a diocese near where somebody lives. Like, for example, Jeff Cavins has a beautiful timeline, Bible timeline that he takes people through. I've seen this advertised at many different parishes, and I know a lot of people who've taken this Bible timeline and then gone through individual books, and it just ignites their heart with a love for the faith and a love of theology. Theology is more than just learning about facts and mastering a bunch of data points. It's about beholding the beauty of what God has done for us. Anyway, thinkers like Jeff Cavins, Scott Hahn, and Tim Gray, and Ted Shree, these people have worked hard and put together a lot of beautiful material on the sacred scriptures that I think is worthy of looking at. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I would recommend for those who want to begin to look into theology and make theology part of their prayer is to get a catechism of the Catholic Church and prayerfully read through the catechism of the Catholic Church. Again, different dioceses and parishes sometimes have study guides and small groups that read through the catechism. I highly recommend getting involved with that. In the Archdiocese of Denver, they have something called the Catechetical School, and they have little studies on certain in the catechism. Those kinds of programs, sometimes they require a lot of work, sometimes a little bit less work, but when you're getting together with other people who are also excited about the faith, and you have a good teacher who is able to take you through some of the great themes in the catechism, what you learn is the theological vocabulary of theology in that, and how to understand the terms in our tradition. And as you do that, you'll find that more difficult works become easier and easier to read. For example, a beautiful work to read, I highly recommend going back to the original sources, like Augustine's Confessions. That is a beautiful theological work that should be prayerfully reflected on. If you read the sacred scriptures, go through a study of the sacred scriptures, and you also study the catechism, a lot of the vocabulary that St. Augustine uses, which at first seems opaque and even overwhelming, once you learn certain terms and you become familiar with the history of salvation revealed in the sacred scriptures, then many of the things he's trying to say all of a sudden fall into place, and the beauty in them is disclosed to you. They can actually, reading somebody like Augustine, lead you deep into prayer. So that's what my recommendation would be.
Wonderful. I do remember, and it probably had some to do with your leadership in the formation program for the seminarians and for the deacon candidates, that we spent 2 years of classes on Augustine's Confessions, along with several other works, but It's a favorite of mine and one that I turn to for inspiration and renewal often. So thank you for that. And, you know, there's something that you've given me to think about. We have a group of four couples who are meeting, and we're doing Catholic book study. Just since you've been in Denver all these years, the first book that we ever started with was Living the Catholic Faith by Archbishop Charles Chaput. We've done three other books, and we've just finished one now, and you've given me the idea to bring up the idea of the catechism. What a wonderful idea to perhaps try studying parts of the catechism in our group.
Well, that's a beautiful thing right now with theology in the church. We have so many wonderful resources available to us right now. I mentioned one name, and I think about two or three others who've also written just beautiful things that help you get into theology, help you pray through what God has revealed to us. And you're right, Archbishop, I've forgotten, he's written more recently a book on Catholic involvement with the issues. That's called Render Unto Caesar. But this earlier work that you're talking about, I think it was called Living the Catholic Faith. Is that it?
Yes, yes.
I remember when that came out, and it has some beautiful things to reflect on. So anyway, you're right. This is a rich time right now. We are very, very fortunate to have so much good theology being produced that's accessible to the lay faithful to be able to read. You don't have to have a PhD to get access to these things. They're readily available.
Doctor, could continue on theology. I just had asked you before we started our program with you, I'd asked if we could just kind of scratch the surface. And I want to give you a chance either now or at the end if you have any closing thoughts on theology. But I also want to ask a little bit. I think you told me that you were in Spain during World Youth Day. Do you want to say some words about that?
Yeah, well, I was with our seminarians. I helped lead a trip, a pilgrimage from Krakow, Poland by bus, from Krakow to Madrid and back. We went through 22 cities, 7 countries, over 5,000 miles. So it was a pretty rigorous journey. We spent, I think, 5 days in Madrid during World Youth Day. And the men had a wonderful story they told about how they went out to the vigil before the mass that night, and they couldn't get in. The Spanish apparently only expected about 700,000 pilgrims for World Youth Day, and they in fact had 2.5 million show up.
Oh.
And so there wasn't enough room for everybody at the vigil, and so our seminarians were turned away, and it was raining, and so they took shelter in a forest, and they ended up connecting with the Sisters of Life, a religious community out of New York devoted to the sanctity of life. And together, between the Sisters of Life and the seminarians from the Archdiocese of Denver, or actually St. John Vianney Seminary, they were from many different dioceses. Together, they kind of hosted a whole bunch of pilgrims who were lost and discouraged, and they prayed together, and they had their own vigil in the forest, in a forest outside Madrid through the night, waiting for Mass in the morning. So it ended up being a very beautiful time of ministry and fellowship. It was Camp America in the forest in Madrid. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that gives you a sense of the spirit of World Youth Day and where our men were at and how God kind of used them in beautiful and good ways. It was like that the whole way through. We were at one bus stop where our guys had pulled out a guitar and just started singing together, and pretty soon a whole group of Spanish youth were gathered around us, and they were singing, and we were all singing together different songs some of the old radio songs from the 60s, and then praise songs, and then they shared some Spanish songs. Anyway, one lady was so moved, she was in tears. She gave one of our seminarians a guitar as a gift, and it was just this beautiful exchange of kind of love and fellowship that characterized all of World Youth Day. I think the fruits of that for Spain we will see for years to come.
Just as we have continued to see the fruits in Denver of World Youth Day of many years ago.
Oh, absolutely. It's very interesting. At the beginning of our pilgrimage, we started in Krakow, and we were hosted by Cardinal Dzivis. Cardinal Dzivis was the Holy Father John Paul II's assistant when he was in World Youth Day in 1993 in Denver. And so Cardinal Dzivis received us. He's the new primate of Poland, and he received us into the palace and took us to the chapel where John Paul II was ordained, and where they have a relic of his blood. His blood, as you know, was shed on the square of St. Peter's, and so is quite a privilege to be able to be in that chapel where he is ordained, to be able to be in the presence of that relic. And Cardinal Dzivis spent most of the time recalling the graces of World Youth Day 1993 in Denver and telling us, sending us four from Krakow to Madrid, saying, this is the grace that we need now in Madrid. So bring the joy of Christ, shout the gospel of Christ from the rooftops, which is what John Paul II told us to do in Denver. And so the men kind of went forth from that, connected with John Paul II, sent out by Cardinal Dzivis, ready for mission in Madrid. It was beautiful.
Oh, my heavens. Oh, what a beautiful story and lead into your trip to Spain. Just as a side note, and you and I hadn't talked about this, I have in my hand the CD of the St. John Vianney seminarians, some of the recorded music that they did. We played that on a previous show, and I think I'm going to play their reflection on the Mass, a beautiful 6 or 8 minute meditation on the Mass. We'll play that to close out this show on theology. And I know a little bit more than we've unfolded here in this recorded part of our time together, that you are out in California as we're speaking. I want to honor the fact that I said we wouldn't hold you real long. What a joy it is, Dr. Lillis, to spend time with you. And there's so much more that we could do. You've been such a blessing in our lives and many others. Let's go back to theology. Is there any wrap-up thoughts or recommendations or ideas?
One thing I wanted to do was tie together the World Youth Day experience with theology, because one of the most important things that happened during World Youth Day was that Pope Benedict XVI declared John of Avila a doctor of the Church. Father John of Avila, Saint John of Avila, came from the same town as Teresa of Avila, the great Carmelite foundress. Only he was older than she was. A lot of people get him mixed up with St. John of the Cross, but St. John of the Cross was a disciple of Teresa of Avila. St. John of Avila was a parish priest in Avila when Teresa was a little girl. And in fact, her autobiography, the La Vida, after she wrote it and after it was submitted to theologians, she was still concerned about whether or not what was in it was right. And so she submitted it. One of the last people she submitted it to was Father John of Avila. And there's a letter that he wrote back to her stating how important the work was and how true her experiences were, and kind of validating that God was using her in a powerful way. John of Avila, the strength of his witness in Spain was that he knew all the great Leaders of Prayer in Spain. In his lifetime, he either wrote them or they had friendships, including he had a very close relationship with Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits.
Oh.
The reason I'm saying all this is that John of Avila, one of his biggest concerns was the renewal of the church. And he understood that for the church to be renewed, there were two things that were absolutely essential. And the first thing was that bishops needed to be renewed. They needed to be spiritual fathers to their priests. And we could say today, they need to be spiritual fathers to their priests and their deacons, personally involved with their life and concern for each one individually. John of Avila saw that as important. The second thing that he saw as important was that there needed to be, especially in the clergy, a renewal of theology, but not just any theology. He was very concerned about a renewal of prayerful theology. Only prayerful theology could help the lay faithful enter the depths of prayer. And renewal in the church is completely dependent on our intimacy with Christ. And if we don't take time to prayerfully learn theology, said John of Avila, if we don't take that time, we block God from being able to act in the lives of the faithful the way he would like to act. In other words, when we take time to prayerfully study theology, we make room for God to act in our hearts. And so that's what I wanted to, my closing thing is that a lot of people look at theology as something only for the professionals and they don't try to inform themselves. And when they do that, unfortunately, they block God from working in their hearts and in their minds in a very powerful way, in a way that John of Avila would say would help renew the church. I personally cannot think that that Benedict XVI is calling John of Avila a doctor of the church for our time, precisely because we live in a time where we need a renewal of prayerful theology, a renewal that begins when each one of us takes responsibility, takes the initiative to learn our faith and to pray over it, and through that loving search, open up our hearts to an encounter with the living God.
Anthony, if I may, let's do two closing things. The first I'd like to ask is, I know that you've been going out to do retreats or talks or spiritual efforts at parishes or elsewhere. Do you want to say a word about what you do and what you're available to do?
Oh, sure. I offer retreats for groups, and I speak at conferences whenever I'm invited. The first weekend in November, the Biblical School for the Archdiocese of Denver has invited me to provide a retreat on the Song of Songs. And so we're going to be looking at Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, and St. Bernard, their reflections on the Song of Songs over the weekend. And it's geared to help people enter deep into prayer. Otherwise, different parishes invite me to come talk about different saints and mystics. For the last year, I've been invited several times to go to Sacramento and speak on Divine Mercy. And I've really fallen in love with the message and mission of Sister Faustina and John Paul II and the importance of Divine Mercy for our time. So that's what I'm about now. And thank you for the opportunity to be with you and to just be able to share a little bit about, this wonderful patrimony of theology that the Lord has entrusted us to in our time, entrusted us with, rather, in our time.
As we wrap up with Dr. Anthony Lillis, I want to remind or let our people know that you also have a blog that you share some of your teachings and thoughts on. You want to put a plug in for that?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's at www.beginningtopray.com. Beginningtopray.com, all one word. And I welcome comments, and but especially invite your prayers for that. It's really meant to be an outreach for those who are want to learn more about their faith and open up their hearts to what the saints and mystics are saying in our time.
Our guest on Catholic Vitamins on this topic of theology has been Dr. Anthony Lillis, a longtime professor and resident of back in the Denver area. That's how Dee and I got to know him. And I hope and pray that people will avail themselves of the resources that he offers. And maybe if you have a parish who's looking for a speaker to come in, or a chancery that's looking for a speaker to come in and lead a retreat or a talk on the mystics or one of the saints or on divine mercy, that you would reach out to Dr. Anthony Lillis. Anthony, thank you so very much for today.
Thank you, Deacon Tom. Please give my love to Dee. We'll talk to you later.
One of the great gifts of the Deacon Formation Program back in the Archdiocese of Denver was Professor and now friend Dr. Anthony Lillis. We're sure grateful for him giving us a good understanding of theology and the importance of theology for everyday Catholics. We have another man who's great with theology and evangelization. We're glad to have him back from World Youth Day. This is the first time we've had him back since World Youth Day. Here's Justin Stroh.
Welcome to this new evangelization. This is Catholic musician and speaker Justin Stroh. I love you, Lord, my strength. The new evangelist is one who realizes that God is the strength, that there is no other way to proclaim the good news than simply through love itself, that the love of God is the strength, not the internet, not methods, not relationships, not knowledge, simply the love of Jesus Christ. I need to make my soul available to his love. Therefore, it's important that I seek reconciliation at least once a month, spending time on my knees, getting honest with Jesus and myself, telling the Lord and myself what my ulterior motives are. And what are they? Is it that I want attention? Is it that I like to be right? Is it that I perceive myself to be holy when I'm evangelizing? Do I get a buzz? All of these things are ulterior motives. We need to seek what is right and good for the other person, and what is right and good for everybody is Jesus, who is the true compassionate one. And he charges no interest for giving away what it is that is good himself. Neither should we. We should charge no interest through ulterior motives. I love you, Lord, my strength, my fortress, my deliverer. And so we raise his name in praise at the beginning of the Mass. As we say in the new translation, we adore you, we bless you, we glorify you. All of these praises, which build a whole realm of safety around us. Not just a hedge of protection, but a realm of safety that is the church itself. We receive the word of God in the afflictions that we have, knowing that his safety is real and that the joy of the Holy Spirit teaches us to turn from idols. And idols are in those other motives. We just like them, and we sometimes want to spread the gospel because of them. But let us not do that. Let us put the Lord at the center, the focal point of what we are doing. For we know that our deliverer is Jesus Christ, and he has delivered us. He has delivered us from our idols.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
It was great to hear Justin again.
After not having him on for several weeks?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
Welcome back, Justin.
Got some feedback?
I have one piece of feedback. This was a slow feedback week.
Yeah, okay.
This came in from Michelle in South Dakota, and she said, I wanted to thank you for the podcast about selflessness. I've been wanting to see the movie Courageous for some time now, and your podcast makes me want to go even more.
I think I had someone else that is interested in the movie, and we have some people here in our town that are interested in doing it, maybe as a pump-up sort of thing for men of the parish, so that'll be good.
And as I was getting out of the car this morning to head in for morning mass, our friend Bill from the parish, who listens to our podcast...
Thank you, Bill.
He met me as we were headed up the stairs, and he said he had just finished listening to the last one. I said, selflessness? And he said, yes. And he liked the story of, I guess that was Sister Ann Shields' segment when she was talking about doing this talk and seeing this man in the back of the room.
The priest who was going to leave the priesthood. Yeah.
He really liked that part. Okay, so that was Michelle. That's the only piece of feedback I have.
Are we ready for something like...
How about the next fight of Scrabble?
Okay, all right.
Next one is U.
We're up to letter U.
Vitamin U.
Yep.
It's going to be a long one.
Okay.
Ends in G.
All right.
13 letters.
Wow, wow. This probably is something created by an attorney or a lawyer. Oh, that's a little bit of a clue. I can't say any more.
So give them our feedback number.
206-350-3789. Call us. We do love your feedback, and we pay extra for feedback. No, we don't.
Nope. But we like voice feedback.
Sure. And then, you know, our mail email address is catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And take a guess, for those of you who are wondering what this show is all about, we're still trying to figure out what this show is about. We've been at it more than 2 years. But what it's about is faith vitamins, and Dee just gave you a clue for the next vitamin, so take a guess.
So even though it's a long one, starts with U, ends in G, 13 letters, take a stab at it. Well, vitamin T, theology,
yes,
that wasn't quite as long as some of our vitamins have been, and we have some guesses.
I'm going to take
it. I'm going to draw.
Pull one.
Wait. I got to shake it up good.
Oh.
Okay.
You are so.
All right. One.
Yep.
Okay.
And the paper says.
Michelle Sawyer.
In South Dakota.
In South Dakota.
Blessings. Thank you. Glad you played along and that you took a guess and that it was right. All right. You have a vitaminute.
I have a vitamin, and I guess this is sort of going to be like the theology of marriage.
The theology of marriage. This ought to be interesting.
Kind of timely, since we're going to be celebrating an anniversary in a few days.
Oh, we should talk about this.
We should.
All right.
Let me do the...
Okay, go ahead.
I'll do the vitamin first.
All right. Theology of marriage.
I've learned that you know your husband still loves you when there are two brownies left. And he takes the smaller one.
I would do that for you. I'm not so sure it would be the same with you. You've been known to take the biggest one and then act innocent. Like, I thought.
Well, sweetaholics have trouble with this. And that's what I am.
Yep.
Okay, so our anniversary story. Our wedding story.
Yeah. We were married on... October 31st, I'm not going to do the year, and Dee lied when she told you the number of years we've been married.
I did not.
And we were married on Halloween. After our beautiful marriage liturgy and a reception, an afternoon reception.
The wedding was in the afternoon, like early afternoon.
Yeah, we came back to the apartment and we were going to change clothes and spend a little time with family members and friends who came back over to the apartment with us, and then we were going to take off on our honeymoon. Well, we were there and visiting and
visiting
laughing.
With family and friends. Yeah, and
had a lot of people in our small little apartment.
Yeah, all of a sudden there's a knock on the door.
There was a knock on the door. We thought it might be somebody else coming to join us. We went and opened the door, and it was some children trick-or-treating. We had completely forgotten about Halloween. And here's Dee in her wedding dress still, and me in my tux, and these kids look up at us.
They're
and
wide-eyed. They're like, wow, look at their costumes.
So that's our memory of our wedding night back at the apartment after our reception. We had fun with that. All right, dear, I love you. Still happily married. You're not responding to that. Well, thank you, everyone. You can tell that I'll be contacting an attorney. I already mentioned an attorney. All right. Thank you so much for listening to Catholic Vitamins.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings. Once again, we want to thank Danielle Rose and Donna Corey Gibson for the wonderful use of their music on Catholic Vitamins. We're going to close with Noelle Garcia from her album Set the World on Fire. And the song we're going to hear is Hand of God.
Holy Spirit, come to me. Bring your wisdom that I can see. Holy Spirit, come to me. Bring your counsel that I can speak.